When you run a private practice, you're not just a therapist, you're a business owner, a compliance officer, a marketing team, and most of all, a human being. The team at Alma gets that at a very real level. They make it easy to take insurance with support and with tools that keep your private practice running smoothly so that you can practice and focus on what matters the most, which is serving our clients well. They have an all-in-one EHR, a peer community, as well as free CEUs, meaning that you're not navigating the private practice journey on your own. You can learn more about Alma and the awesome services that they provide over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. Alma is spelled A-L-M-A, and if you go through that link, you get 2 months absolutely free. sellingthecouch.com/Alma. Hello, hello. Welcome to today's session of Selling the Couch. I hope you are doing well. So this is a series of podcast episodes that I've been actually wanting to record for the past several years, but it just seemed like right now it made the most sense. We titled it, If I Were in Grad School Again, Here Is What I Would Do. And so specifically, if you're a grad student in psychology, counseling, social work, any related field, or just someone that's in your early professional journey, or if you're someone that is supervising clinicians, especially early career clinicians or future early career clinicians, I hope that today's session is just really helpful for you. Just sort of taking a 40,000 foot view of what is happening broadly and specifically in our field. Reality is tuition has gone up, you know, in many degrees, and that continues to go up. So there's things that we're navigating with that, especially if you are in grad school now. The job market is definitely shifting. I think it's brought some interesting things in terms of what we can even do with our degrees. AI, of course, is reshaping everything very fast. In fact, one of the articles that I read in preparing for this episode was how AI is being used. And the one thing that I kept seeing over and over is that many people are now using things like ChatGPT as a personal therapist. And private practice isn't the automatic next step anymore. Many clinicians went into private practice after the pandemic. And so that's definitely brought a lot of neat resources in terms of mental health support. But from a business perspective, it's definitely brought a lot more competition. And so how do you sort of stand out in the midst of all of this? I think I can imagine if you're in grad school right now, all of it feels both exciting, but kind of overwhelming. And so today I wanted to take a 40,000 foot view on all of this, slow things down a little bit, and share 5 things that I would do again if I were in grad school. I have fortunately been, in psychology since the year 2000 when I started my bachelor's degree. Just to give you a quick intro on everything, I started a PhD in counseling psychology in 2005. I graduated with my bachelor's degree in 2004 and was very fortunate to get into a PhD program right afterwards. I completed my pre-doctoral internship, or I started my pre-doctoral internship in 2009. Completed my postdoctoral fellowship in 2012 and got licensed here in the state of Pennsylvania as a licensed psychologist in 2012. And even just thinking about all of the different things, trainings and practicums and internships, I've worked in a variety of places, everything from the VA, community mental health, group private practice, all the way to university counseling centers. And I've had the incredible opportunity to supervise a number of students while I was still doing clinical work. And I've also, you know, since 2015, have had the fortunate opportunity to build and grow Selling the Couch. And here recently, in the last 2 years, we've been focusing on our coaching slash future book slash brain spotting golf experience wing called Quiet Builder. And so just launching multiple businesses, but doing it in a way that's around health and family has been something really important to me. This podcast that we launched here in 2015 is now in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world. We've released over 400 episodes, and it's very close to about 2 million downloads overall. And for me personally, even as I have grown, I got licensed in my early 30s. And even as I've come into my 40s, I've really tried to build a life that feels whole, not just looks impressive on social media or something like that. Some of it I feel like we've done well with. Others, I honestly have been a crash test dummy and have had quite a bit of failures, and it's been completely wrong. And I wanted to spend the time just diving into what I do differently, and I wanted to just share that openly and honestly, especially if I were in grad school and starting now or in grad school. So first is, don't just learn, build something. Grad school gives you structure, right? A program, a timeline, a cohort, but no one tells you this. You know, these, and if you're doing a master's degree around 2 years, if you're end up doing a PsyD or a PhD, you're likely going to be there between 4 and 7 years. But the reality is that is a perfect time to build something that is truly yours. Not for grades, not based on someone else's rubric, just something or that reflects your own voice. So for example, maybe it's starting a simple podcast. Maybe it's starting a simple social media channel where you post shorts on something that you're interested in. Maybe it means writing a short weekly newsletter, sharing reflections from practical experiences on LinkedIn, trying a low-pressure YouTube channel, not to go viral, but just to build reps, to really find your voice and to build you. Because once you graduate, having even a tiny audience and a clear point of view, it can open doors beyond what your degree can. And the unique thing is it sets you apart than someone that's just kind of going right through grad school. Second is, say yes to what scares you, even if it's a little bit. This one's tough, especially if you're an introvert like me and definitely do not want the limelight and tries to actively avoid the limelight. But the biggest growth that, as I think about my own journey, it's come when I said yes to things like volunteering at professional trainings, even just checking people in, asking questions in supervision, even if my voice shook, attending workshops that are outside of my focus area, helping with faculty projects that I genuinely cared about. You don't have to lead anything. You just have to show up with curiosity and a quiet courage. The room that feels a little bit out of your league, those are where the best long-term relationships begin. Third is to learn the language of business. See, we get trained in things like ACT or CBT or EMDR, or we learn about Carl Jung, but no one explains how to read a profit and loss sheet or file an LLC. If I were starting over, to be completely honest, I would take a basic personal finance class in grad school. I would also see if the grad school or the college that you're attending offers any classes like on entrepreneurship and something like that, because those skill sets will become, if you've gone through classes and at least done some contained training on some of that stuff, it would just make your future career so much easier. This, I think, is particularly relevant because a good chunk of folks that are graduating will eventually go into private practice. And if you have some of that skill set already, it makes the private practice transition just much smoother. Also, taking classes like that, learn, you know, you learn things like what's the difference between W-2 and a 1099 versus self-employed and the tax implications of all of that. You also understand things like leverage, right? Leverage is a word I've thought a lot about. And leverage basically in this context is how do you build income that isn't tied to direct hours? And I think this is especially true for us as clinicians, because especially if we go into private practice, we're essentially trading time for income. So we make income when folks show up or if we're not sick, but then that income is not there if folks cancel or we get sick or there's like health things like that. So you want to really start to think about like leveraged income. And then you also learn things like what a Roth IRA is and why compound interest matters. I didn't know anything about investing. In fact, were it not for the fact that I took Financial Peace University, which is a course that Dave Ramsey's team runs. I took this for 13 weeks as part of a church community that I was part of while I was on internship. Were it not for that class, like I would not have learned and understood a lot of things about personal finance. And in hindsight, we made a wise decision in the moment. It didn't feel very wise. But, you know, opening up Roth IRAs and starting to contribute to retirement and letting things start to compound over time. Warren Buffett talks about this idea of time in the market is better than timing the market. And so especially if you're graduating and you're in your 20s or late 20s, it's an amazing amount of time to let things start to invest so things can start to compound. Also just realizing, even if you never open your own business, whether it's private practice, a coaching, consulting, whatever it is, just always realize you are a business of one. Knowing how money flows in helps you serve others better and you sleep a lot better at night. The fourth thing that I wanted to share is build real relationships and not just a resume. So it's really tempting to focus on things like licensure hours and publications and letters of recommendation. And obviously all of those are incredibly important. But the real career momentum, it often comes from these quiet and unexpected conversations. You know, for me, it came from a supervisor who I knew was seeing PGA golfers on Saturday mornings out on a golf course, realizing, oh my gosh, I could be outside and be out in nature and do psychology. Like, that's like the best of all worlds. It was a classmate who later started a startup and realizing, wow, you know, like they just think so differently about it. It was also when I, you know, met somebody at a continuing education training or a meetup who opened unexpected doors for me. I wanted to share even two specific strategies that can really help. So one, these are like more practical and tactical, but one is use LinkedIn to connect locally. So even if you are in grad school, so you can, LinkedIn search is incredibly powerful. And one of the things that you can do is you can filter by the city that you anticipate residing in, whether it is for, you know, life or private practice or whatever it is. And then after you do that, you can actually filter by people, but also by posts. And so you can essentially find therapists that are posting on LinkedIn in the geographic area that you are working in. And that is incredibly powerful. And you can also filter by things like therapists who might be posting on a certain modality or doing something that you might want to do. So, for example, a clinician that has gone off and become a clinical advisor on a mental health startup. And the cool thing with LinkedIn is you're seeing what therapists are actively sharing. And instead of just sending them a request, get to know them. Leave thoughtful comments, genuine comments. Don't like make it all AI generated. You can use AI to like help you, like if you're, you know, to help you if you want to just speak out something and then have AI generate the comment. That's cool, but like don't make it like, you know, it sounds like it's written by AI just for the sake of engaging, just to like, you know, build this
relationship. And then what I would do is once, you know, you've engaged with them, gotten to know them, send a kind on pushy DM, connect with them on LinkedIn and say, you know, hey, I've just really enjoyed your comments. I'm a grad student. I know you're really busy, but I was wondering if you might just take 30 minutes out of your day. Just, you know, we can just do a quick call. I'd love to learn what you're doing. I have so many questions and I would love to just to pick your brain on them. A simple thing like that. You just never know the opportunities and the doors that something like that could open. Treat it almost like you are planting seeds for a tree that you don't know what it's going to look like and you don't know how it's going to quite blossom, but you're just trusting that things will come together. The second little micro tip that I can share with you in terms of building real relationships is find local therapist meetups and online groups. So if you actually look on meetup.com, especially in many of the big cities, there's inevitably a therapist meetup group. Some of this is like broad for all therapists that are in different areas, whether it's academia, whether it's private practice. And then there's others that are more specific to a therapist in private practice. So for example, Philadelphia, where I live, has a Philadelphia private practice meetup group that they meet, you know, every quarter. And so it's just an opportunity to get together, to meet each other. Check out local Facebook groups. So for example, there's the Philadelphia Private Practice Network on Facebook. And so this is a great way to meet other clinicians. It's often where clinicians share resources, where they ask for referrals, all of those kind of things. So I just wanted to share is, you know, for me, people kept saying like network, network, network. And I was like, I don't know. What does that even mean? And what I would even say is just be real, be genuine, be kind, be transparent, you know, be present. These relationships built now become the support system later. For example, if they, you know, you go into private practice, maybe they become mentors for you. Maybe you are then eventually going from a solo to a group practice. Maybe they send you folks that could be potential employees that you have, or they send referrals to you. You just never know what sort of relationships these opportunities can do. And the only reason is even I didn't do this in grad school and I like so wish I had done this, like just go to these meetup groups, you know, ask the person, hey, I'm pre-licensed. I saw this was for licensed therapists, but are there any opportunities for grad students to come in? Because I'm just so curious. Can you make an exception for me? Just take that little initiative because again, the thing is about leverage, right? Like going to one of these meetup groups, right? You just get to meet so many people and you never know again where those relationships can go. Which brings me to the fifth point, which is don't burn bridges ever. Please hear this one. If something goes wrong at a practicum site or you feel slighted by a supervisor, please take a breath before going full scorched earth. I have seen colleagues do this both in grad school and then when I was like, you know, in my latter trainings. And the reality is the field is small, especially if you plan to stay in the same city or region. I've seen this happen again and again, which is someone burns a bridge. Years later, that person is, you know, that they burned a bridge with has some sort of influence or power, like they're on a hiring committee or they're running a group practice, and suddenly doors start quietly closing. You don't need to like fake being okay, but just as much as it depends on you, leave place as well. Because your reputation isn't built on followers, especially in a field that is so relational like ours is. It's built in rooms that you're not in, based on how others remember what it was like to interact with you, to work with you, all of those kind of things. And a bonus tip that I just wanted to share, maybe before I share that, I'll just share the five again, which is number one, don't just learn, build something. Two is say yes to what scares you, even if a little bit. Three is learn the language of business. Four is build relationships, not just a resume. And five is don't burn bridges ever. Which brings me to the bonus point, which is invest in your nervous system. As I think about grad school and my trainings, I remember a lot of mentors said, you know, practice self-care, practice self-care. And a lot of mentors would also say, you know, share, tell, encourage your clients in terms of their own self-care. This idea of investing in your nervous system, it's not like some fluffy like wellness advice. The work that you're stepping into is emotionally intense. There's clients, there's systems, there's paperwork, there's burnout. The people who last in our profession, they're not always the biggest high achievers. They're not often the smartest or the most intelligent. What I find is they're the ones that are the most regulated. And so if I were starting over again, I would learn things like see if there's any like yoga or breathwork classes offered through grad school, any or low cost ones in your community or free ones. See if, and again, like meetups, right? Those are great opportunities. Do things like noticing your triggers, noticing how to move emotions through your body. Even if it's just 1 hour a week, block off that time for you to do something that has nothing to do with grad school, something that you genuinely love and are passionate about. For me, that was landscape photography. That is what I did in grad school. I went and photographed a bunch of flowers and loved it. But it was something that I needed because I was seeing clients that were suicidal and going through really intense trainings and going, you know, seeing, being supervised by multiple supervisors and then eventually supervising others. And it's just, it's a lot, right? And the reality is, why invest in your nervous system? You're not just building a career, you're building the vessel to carry that career. It's such a unique facet of our field. So that's basically what I'd do differently if I were in grad school again, not to change my path, but to walk with more intention and more purpose, less pressure, and a deeper sense of alignment. If you're still here, thank you for taking the time to listen. I'm cheering for you. And if you enjoy reflections like this, I always forget to mention this, but we write a free weekly newsletter. It includes the latest Selling the Couch episodes, life and business updates on my end, quiet insights from now from 11 years of entrepreneurship and fatherhood and being a husband and navigating a whole bunch of things. You can sign up for free at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. We have around 3,600 colleagues that are on this newsletter as I record this. I hope to see you there. And if anything, please keep going quietly, bravely, steadily. You are the next generation of our field, and we can't wait to welcome you in. And yeah, we're just so proud of the path that you're pursuing. Have a great rest of your day. Bye. Hey there, thank you so much for tuning in to today's session. Just wanted to also let you know that we have a free email newsletter that goes out every week. You can download it over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. Basically, that newsletter contains some of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes with STC and also with my life and how I'm balancing and trying to balance being both an entrepreneur as well as building a life around my family and my health as well. And it also contains the latest podcast episode and some of the stuff that I'm doing on LinkedIn, some of the strategies and things that are working for me. And then finally, a brand new section called On Mel's Mind, where I take a video or a book or a blog post or something like that that's inspiring me for that week, and I share how I'm implementing it both in my life and in my business. Again, you can download that over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. And if you are one of the 3,700 colleagues that have been a part of the email newsletter, I so appreciate you, and I'm grateful for your support. We genuinely try to make these helpful,
And just based on the data and based on the feedback we're getting, it seems like we're doing a really good job. So appreciate you, and I hope that you have a great day.